Hello, everybody, Melzone, and this is On's Gadget Talk, 4th, Friday, 2nd of July, 2021. In today's episode, we got plenty of things to talk about. Lots of news about smartphones, new Samsung device leaks, because, you know, Unpacked is just a few weeks away from now. It's July now, we're in July, basically, and August is just a whole month away, and we have an excessive amount of leaks. Now what Samsung needs to do is just declare the phones available and we're going to go buy it and, you know, talk about it. Like, obviously, I can't afford these foldables. It's great, but yeah. Realme is teaming up with an iconic camera brand. A very Huawei move, you know, because Huawei has teamed up with Leica, you know, before. And it's like a whole partnership and, you know, you can make an expensive camera phone. But yeah, all this and more in today's episode, so let's get cracking. Kind of hate to sound like breaking news, but this will surprise you if you have a OnePlus phone or are looking to buy a OnePlus phone. But yeah, first, a bit of a moment of silence for Oxygen OS. So we've kind of talked about Oppo and OnePlus, you know, merging some teams behind the scenes, you know, R&D and stuff, being combined, some resources being combined over a week or two back. But now, apparently, in a forum post today, that OnePlus made to the community, because, you know, the community matters. This is what OnePlus is about, you know, that's how it works, you know, or else if it wasn't for the community, there would probably be another random phone brand that you'd find on AliExpress. But hey, but basically, they wrote a post stating, oh, we're a small brand, you know, it's hard to maintain an OS every single year. So we decided that we're going to integrate the code base of Oxygen OS and ColorOS. So the idea essentially is, apparently according to them, this is a change that you will likely not even notice since it's happening behind the scenes. We now have a larger and even more capable team of developers, more advanced R&D resources, and more streamlined development process, all coming together to improve the Oxygen OS experience. Mwah! I mean, obviously the Oppo execs are like, yeah, I mean, you're not gonna notice it. Yeah, I mean, we think we're gonna like ColorOS, right? But they made a point that that Oxygen OS won't be maintained as the main UI or the main OS or the main skin of OnePlus phones for the time being, for several years to come. But obviously, basically what they're saying is that now the same devs who've worked on ColorOS will also work on Oxygen OS, and they'll both work to sort of offer a cohesive OS. Basically, they're not ending or ditching Oxygen OS or switching to ColorOS, but they are starting to use some resources from Oppo's OS team to create to maintain and update the skin of Oxygen OS, quite like ColorOS. So I think the fear is that basically Oxygen OS will lose its edge of being the cleanest variant of vanilla Android, that vanilla flavor of Android, that is a word for it, the vanilla Android that you had on these phones, almost stock-like experience. Yes, finally I found the word, stock-like experience, that could be displaced by a cartoonish iOS-esque skin, because OnePlus can do anything, and they can bend over, in a sense, they can sort of bend over and cut corners now, and they want more people to buy their phones, and it'll do anything really, and I think that is the underlying fear that I think everyone has. Let's see if they still maintain Oxygen OS after everything, after the OnePlus 9T series, if that comes out soon. We haven't even heard about that, but okay. But it's kind of scary, but then you could, if you want to be defensive, and it's okay, we all have opinions, ColorOS has gotten better. If you've ever used the Oppo phone in the last 2-3 years, it's gone smoother. If you've bought an Find X3 or a Find X3 Pro or something, it's bar smooth. You won't even tell that this is a random phone with a random OS with random bloatware. But I think the fear is that ColorOS has a lot of bloatware, and so you'd add some funky features to Oxygen OS to make it cool and stuff. And already there could be a fear of adding bloatware to Oxygen OS, but obviously this is just our kind of our fears, really. With, you know, I mean, there's no, I mean, I'll honestly tell you, MIUI is amazing. I'm not a fan of EMUI. I feel sick of EMUI. I love stock Android. The only Chinese brand, the only two Chinese manufacturers whose skins of Android is great is MIUI and Realme UI. MIUI is because I love Xiaomi. I'm pretty biased. But no, really, they have a quite butter smooth experience. If they had to tweak and add bits and bobs like a app, what do you call this? Your app tray where, no, not app tray, your place where you have apps and in the background you go back to them. App drawer, no. The background tab, sort of the squarish button. It would be a different style, but again, it's specific to Xiaomi, and it looks stunning on their expensive phones also. Realme UI also looks pretty clean, even though it's kind of coming from ColorOS and now OxygenOS, a bit of it, really. But still, it's quite impressive. Honestly, if you really want a stock Android experience, honestly, and you bought one of these phones, you might as well want to flash the ROM of these phones. Obviously, it's a lengthy process, and you'll have to find resources online, and, I mean, do it at your own risk. I mean, we're not condoning if anything goes... We're not responsible if anything goes wrong with your phone. You're responsible for your actions, so, okay. So, but really, I mean, you could, honestly, if you want to get around these annoying skins or the potentially annoying future update of OxygenOS, I mean, get a launcher. I mean, get a custom ROM. Ironically, OnePlus phones don't even offer a custom ROM anymore, so you can't get around that. But then I'm not surprised, because OnePlus needed to get mainstream. They need to get to more people, they need to get to carriers, and carriers can't really sell a phone whose design is such that it's... The ROM is kind of like unlocked from the back, so there's a back door theoretically. So security wise, they've tweaked some things in the back, so that kind of makes sense. But then again, also I'm not surprised given the state of the smartphone industry. It's thriving, but also it's difficult for a brand like OnePlus to try to sell a lot more phones, but also maintain a several divisions where they make devices and stuff. So that I think is a unique situation in and of itself, primarily. In case you're curious, this strong, but on the flip side, hopefully, assuming OxygenOS does not change and become a bloatware again, a bloatware UI, like their Oppo Conte parts. I mean, if it's nicer than ColorOS, OnePlus is now committing to a 3-year support plan. So the idea is that if you have their flagship phones, OnePlus 8 and above, you're able to get 3 major Android updates and 4 years of security updates. If you have Nord phones, all of them primarily, and the newer ones, the newer Nord phones and the CE ones, you'll get 2 major Android updates. The original ones obviously have one Android update, obviously, as the phone was available, and they'll get another one. That's it. But all Nord phones will have 2 major Android updates. So if you bought one on Android 12, it'll go all the way up to Android 14 primarily. And 3 years of security updates primarily. And the Nord N series, N10, N100, N200 will get 1 major Android update and 3 years of security updates. Now, if you have the flagship OnePlus phones, you rest assured you can chillax. And yes, that major Android update will come, because if you bought an expensive Android phone, you need that upgrade. You need to upgrade the OS. It'll make your phone last a whole lot longer. People don't really realize this until like, you know, 8 years later or whatever, or even 6 years later, when you have that daily driver phone and you're like, wait, I can't update Instagram. I can't get the holographic reels feature. Dang it. I can't stream in 4K. Shit. Okay, I curse. Sorry. Sorry, guys. If any babies are listening to this, I'm so sorry. I can sincerely apologize. I'm mad at my cousin. He made me cussle. Anyways, so... Or, you know, I don't know. The Stadia app doesn't work. Oh, shoot. So, getting Android updates, pretty big ones, like 3-4 years of Android updates is important. Major ones. I mean, my pap's got a Nokia phone with Android 1, so he's gotten 2, 3, 4, I've lost count, kind of, but it's been 3 years now, so he's probably gotten 2 or 3 major Android updates. So, yeah, I mean, the security updates are great because it's important and your phone can get hacked at any moment. You could play that stupid little game and it started mining Cardano on the back, so you really need the security updates. Flagship's getting only 3 major Android updates. That is the point of contention. I think that's also annoying. Nord and Nord N series phones only are getting 1 or 2 Android updates, major, which I think is annoying. It would kind of shorten the lifespan of those phones. Basically, kind of screwed. Okay, sorry. In a sense, you know, I mean, in a sense with having just a few major Android updates, because you're going to miss out on some again. And also, those who buy Nord phones, not to be stereotypical, but those who buy Nord phones will probably have their phone and they'll kind of use it for a much longer time than, say, the Foxconn flagship variant OnePlus phones, because you'll upgrade them easily and there'll be an upgrade offer and all that kind of stuff. But if you're on the Nord phones, 2 years is not enough. I mean, but hey, I think that's the downside of the software. I think it's the downside of the hardware compared to, say, compared to the flagship phones. The flagship phones, the processors, can be supported for a much longer time, and they're easier to maintain, and they'll have faster rollout. OnePlus doesn't make that many phones. It doesn't make 50 phones a year. It doesn't make 900 versions of VXZIT series phone, or they make a X20 and there's an X20 SE and X20 selfie edition and X20 something. OnePlus makes not that many models, so they should be able to support for a very long time. But yeah, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Most of you out there, if you love phones now, it's time to move on to another phone brand. You probably want to look elsewhere now. If you want a true enthusiast phone brand, you'll literally have to shop around for a good option. Honestly, trust the reviews for once. Or look up community posts on XDA developers. People bought that phone, see what people have been saying about it, do your research, honestly. But yeah, I mean, it's sad to see that OnePlus is changing. Really, I thought they'd really never settle, but now they're really settling a little bit to grow. I think you'd have to reach a compromise, theoretically. You know, you want to grow, or you want to still reach the same enthusiasts. But then the thing is, OnePlus has a big market appeal. I mean, the way their brand's been, the feature sets, the marketing, like, it would reach a really cool subset of consumers who are tech-savvy always. But they thought they could settle, but they probably had to compromise somewhere. So, yeah, if you don't like compromises, you have to shop around for another brand. That's the thing. So, yeah, I mean, say it what you will, say what you will, but you know, things are changing. That's for sure. Nokia and Carl Zeiss, Huawei and Leica, OnePlus and Hasselblad, and now Realme and Kodak. What? Now, this is not the first time we've seen one of these, like, smartphone camera maker collaborations. This is one of the several that has been out there. Carl Zeiss obviously now works with Vivo and Nokia and offers phones with Zeiss lens on them. Leica has been working with Huawei on a whole bunch of things. That's just not just putting Leica's name on Huawei's cameras. Obviously adding lenses, offering algorithms, and much, much more. And obviously the recent of the many smartphone / photo collaboration, photo brand camera maker collaborations has been OnePlus and Hasselblad, which is quite high profile. But I think it was just more like branding and algorithms and color science. Now, Realme is trying to make a buzz in the smartphone industry. So, seems like they're now looking to, apparently, according to a leaker on Weibo, Digital Chat Station, once again, big shout out to them, has stated that Realme will be working with Kodak, and they're going to work on the camera of this upcoming phone called the Realme GT Master Edition. What is this phone, the GT Master Edition? This is the regular Realme GT, which is already out, great phone, under $450 if you want to get one. It's on AliExpress, not sponsored, pretty good. So the Realme GT 5G Master Edition, pretty long name for an updated version of the phone, features a Snapdragon 870 regular chip. It's a little affordable. 90Hz 6.5-inch display, 4500 mAh battery, 65-watt fast charging, X55 5G modem. I get this. It has 108-megapixel main sensor, along with a 13-megapixel and 2-megapixel sensor. So there's a triple camera setup at the back, along with a 32-megapixel selfie camera on the front, which is interesting. But more than everything, this phone purportedly will have the camera essentially will be tweaked by Kodak. Now, honestly, I don't want to be mad at Realme. They're trying to be a big smartphone brand. They want to do all sorts of things. They want to compete like the competition and want to offer quality goods and everything. But a collaboration with Kodak the actual Kodak brand. I'm sure there's obviously some IP sharing. Obviously, they're licensing out the Kodak name for their phones. But I'd be interested to know what Kodak brings to the table in this collaboration. The other bigger camera brands that are out there that have collaborated with other phone makers, like Vivo and Zeiss. Zeiss brought their lens technology to the Vivo phones. The X60 features Zeiss lens, and that offer makes the camera obviously top notch. But here, this seems more like a branding move. Like, hey, you know, we heard you. You know, we hear you. You think our cameras are not great, but guess what? We're going to team up with Kodak. Now, this is again from a lot of reports that Realme is looking to work with Kodak. But interestingly enough, now obviously Digital Chat Station did not really mention the company in question. It could be Kodak. It could probably be another brand that we've never heard of, really, that whose brand name is iconic and they could use that on the cameras. But, I mean, what I do know nowadays is that in some countries you could buy Kodak branded products like digital cameras, smart TVs that are branded by Kodak. It's not them. It's not the actual Kodak making them. It's some company that's basically licensed out its name, and so the product is basically someone else's, but it's a Kodak name. So you know it's Kodak. It's reliable. You know who. But it's quite trippy a little bit. You know that Realme is looking to work with Kodak of all companies. But it will be interesting to see what's in the GT Master Edition that they potentially want to do a collaboration with a camera maker like Kodak, because let's face it, they don't have any. We don't really know if they have any capabilities in digital imaging or algorithms or things that really smartphone makers could use, like lenses. Well, it's been so long since Kodak has made their own cameras. Their stock price is jumping, but honestly, nowadays, if you look at it, Kodak's business is basically IP driven. You know, people licensing out their name for all sorts of uses. You can even make pillows and put the Kodak name on it and basically pay Kodak a lot of money, and it's a Kodak product. So if you want to do that, then that's totally your option. So yeah, that's to say the least. We've got to talk about Samsung's new devices or upcoming devices and the flurry of leaks and rumors that we've been hearing about these new devices from Samsung. First, we've got to talk about the Z Fold 3. A lot has been revealed already about the Z Fold 3 and the Z Flip 3. We've talked about in a previous episode the Z Flip 3. The Z Fold 3, on the other hand, has basically been, there have been leaked renders all over the place, specs, everything has almost come out. We kind of have a full picture of these phones and these foldables, and now we know what's going to come in these phones. So that's quite interesting nonetheless. But basically, this latest leaked render, it was a couple of days back. This was from 91 Mobiles. It shows a regular book clamshell. What do you call it? A regular bookcase kind of hardback paper book, foldable design. Folds out like a notebook. Yeah, like a notebook. Folds out like a book. It's a little more rounded than the Z Fold 2. It has the S21 vibes all over the place, except for the camera, for the back camera, which is just a bit simple and not too edgy or not too not like the S21 series. So they're trying to differentiate in a big way. So these leaked renders have been shown in three colors: lilac, green, and black, which will probably be the colors that the phone's gonna be coming in. There's like a lip right all over the screen, and sort of you have this inner display that is pretty big, along with like a, as usual, an outer, small outer display that covers the length and breadth of the right side of it. So if you've been really been looking forward to getting this phone and you were curious about the setup in these phones, you'll not be disappointed. So as I said, already based on leaks, the Z Fold 3 will have a 7.55 inch main display and 6.23 inch outer display diagonal. So that's kind of interesting to say the least. But more than everything, we now know the Geekbench scores of this phone. So this is a result that was that actually came out yesterday. And it shows a Geekbench score of 1,124 in single score metrics and 3,350 in multi-core, which is kind of impressive. It's quite fast. Now, there's no way to tell this is a Z Fold 3, but the model number suspectively is SMF926U. So that possibly could be the model number for the Z Fold 3. But other things really give it away. The 8-core ARM V8 processor, which has that one high performance core of about 2.84 gigahertz. Now, if you've been following this, it probably would be the Snapdragon 8888, the 888, potentially. And also, the RAM has been shown off as 11.1 gigabytes, which is roughly 12 gigabytes, but slashed for processing. And overall, I mean, it's impressively fast for what it is. You know, in the mid 1 to 3 Ks, which is good. So this phone would potentially have a Snapdragon 888. And I think it would help Samsung because they would not have to think about offering a Exynos and a Snapdragon variant. It would kind of save time for everyone. More than everything, we also now know the cameras on the foldable itself. So you have a punch hole camera. So you have a 10 megapixel, 1.22 micrometer, 1x3.2 inch Sony IMX374 sensor. That's the full spec, and front UPC. So I think this would be the camera on the under. It doesn't say what UPC is supposed to mean, but I think it's probably the inner sensor on the Z Fold 3. So it's a 16 megapixel, 1 micrometer, 1x3.09 inch Sony IMX471 sensor. So that could be the inner sensor, to say the least. Aside from that, you have a rear wide angle sensor, 12 megapixel, 1.8 micrometer, 1x1.76 inch Sony IMX555 dual PD autofocus camera. That's at the back, along with a 12 megapixel rear 2x telephoto sensor, 1 micrometer, 1x3.6 inch S.LSI 3M5 PDAF 13. It apparently has 13 megapixel, but again, 1 micrometer crop basically. And then a third rear ultrawide 12 megapixel, 1.12 micrometer, 1x3.2 inch S.LSI 3L6 PDAF. It's pretty long specs, but basically, the back of the SZ Fold 3 will have a triple 12 megapixel setup, offering you wide angle, regular, telephoto, and ultra wide, whereas you'll have on both inner and outer displays a selfie camera. It'll be almost equivalent, so yeah, that's quite interesting nonetheless. That's interesting tidbit that we're getting to hear here. It came out a few days ago. So that will basically be the Z Fold 3. And also, we've heard the rumor that it'll cost around $1,500 to $1,600. So it's a lot of money, but it's a whole lot cheaper than the Z Fold 2. And because obviously, they'll be making it in bigger quantities. And also, the Note 21 is not coming this year. There'll probably be a Galaxy S21 FE instead. So that's interesting nonetheless. But speaking of the S21 FE, we have a leaked poster of the phone. So it purportedly, again, the source Android Headlines is the watermark here. So big shout out to them for this one. So it shows a quite simple glass back and metal unibody, or aluminium unibody. It could probably be a plastic unibody design, band in the middle. So it has a nice finish. It's a bit more toned down from the S21. It's a bit simpler. So it has that cutout of the S21, but doesn't have the cameras of the S21 as it is, so being the S21 FE. And it also purports to show a front-facing, a front display with a punch hole notch in the center, which is kind of interesting. So it looks like a slightly more simpler version of the S20 FE, but it's just like the S21. So apparently, and also this leaked advert showing different colors, lilac, olive green, white, and black, the S21 colors, as always. But this is a leaked ad, so this could be the real deal eventually. So yeah, but based on rumors. I mean, this will pack a whole bunch of specs from the looks of it. So apparently, this could have a Snapdragon 888, Android 11, and it could have 68 gigabytes of RAM potentially, 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage, 45 watt fast charging, 6.41 inch display, full HD resolution, 32 megapixel camera. Has a whole lot of specs, but that's basically the phone that will basically be around $700, $600 to $800 in some markets. But more than everything, we all do know that there is these chip shortages this past year, which has been extremely tough for games consoles, graphics cards, for just regular technology that everyone really wants, and they'll pay a lot of money for it. So Samsung may actually, again, this is according to Miel Business, a Korean business outlet, a business news site, and they're claiming that Samsung could be offering an Exynos variant of the S21 FE because they're probably not be enough Snapdragon 888 processors. So instead, Samsung may be looking to get source their own chips from instead, and it could basically be the Exynos 2100 potentially. We don't know. I don't really don't know what processor they go for, but all I know is that it could be Samsung's best chip that they have in that segment in price and time potentially. But yeah. And if you thought this was the only thing that was already leaked of Samsung that coming pretty soon, be prepared to be surprised. The Galaxy Watch 4 Classic has been leaked already. It has this quite classical design, kind of this, stainless steel, you know, how to describe it through audio. So it has this kind of frame, it's got this ring to it, a stainless steel ring to it. It's not really stainless steel, but it is, kind of, in my own opinion. So it's got the simpler design, it's not too tech driven, it looks simple, elegant. It's like the previous Galaxy Watch Classic editions. Apparently, it's already coming in 41 and 45, okay, it's coming in 42, 44 and 46 millimeter sizes, so you have options across the board. It has, it's rated at 5 atmospheric water pressure and certified as MIL-STD-810G for durability, which is the standard for durability on devices of this caliber. There could basically, in the pictures, it has two buttons on the right, so that's what's going to be on the watch. And it looks like the older watches, kind of, Galaxy watches that have been there, basically. And it's coming in silver and black, so that's kind of interesting in a sense. So interestingly, the black model would have a unique case apparently, while the other two have bare metal cases. So that's interesting to see. And also, if you're wondering about specs, it'll basically carry all the regular specs of the Galaxy Watch 4. So this is interesting. So we've heard quite a lot already about these devices. I think it's time that Samsung does an Unpacked event in August and show it off to the world. I would love to see what they really are and how good they are. So honestly, cannot wait for Unpacked. And the more we're hearing about these leaks, the more it's like becoming a reality day by day. It's like, it's happening, guys. So yeah, I can't wait for this to be unveiled at Unpacked for sure. So yeah, quite a galaxy of experiences nonetheless. This tidbit's interesting, and I think you'd be surprised to see that this is happening a lot more often. Phones now are getting virtual RAM. I thought this was a bit of an April Fool's joke. I mean, I thought, wait, how do these phones get virtual RAM if there's like, not many people out there, how do you do it? But basically nowadays, a lot of Chinese phone brands, Oppo, Vivo also, Xiaomi, are now adding the ability to get virtual RAM for your phone. So the idea is that if you get virtual RAM, you sort of add extra 2 gigabytes to your phone. You take up, basically how it works is that it takes up storage on your phone, and essentially this will give you essentially cache. So it'll help you open your apps a whole lot faster because it's already preloaded in memory. So it has to just take it out and run it right there. So you essentially get 2 more gigabytes, you take up 2 gigabytes of internal storage primarily. And also, so if your phone has like say 6 gigabytes of storage, it would become 8 gigabytes, for example. Now for Xiaomi, this feature is being offered on their Redmi Note 10 Pro 5G, because obviously it doesn't have that much RAM, but it sort of would help improve load times for these applications, which would be helpful. And this is coming to the China variants of these phones, so that's interesting nonetheless. And then Oppo, on the flip side, is offering a virtual RAM feature on their Reno 5, A94, and A74 phones. The idea is that you could go as much as 7 GB of virtual memory, so it won't be as fast as regular RAM, obviously. It'll just be like cache, but you're able to run apps a bit faster. And this is coming as an update now, which means that it's basically possible to pull this off primarily. So yeah, this looks quite an exciting development nonetheless, if you use a regular phone already. So that's that. This is kind of interesting. The iPhone 12 has sold over 100 million units in April 2021, and that's according to Counterpoint Research, who've just released this research report, claiming that quote that essentially the series was able to achieve this feat in the 7th month after its launch. It was 2 months earlier than the iPhone 11 series and almost the same as the iPhone 6 series, which that helped Apple achieve its first volume super cycle at the cusp of the 4G transition. The iPhone 12 series, Apple has achieved another volume super cycle after 6 generations of iPhones and at the cusp of the 5G transition. So basically what they're trying to say is that well, iPhones are quite popular all over the world, but overall in April over 100 million iPhone 12 units were sold. The iPhone 12 series, which is the 12 Pro, the 12 Pro Max, and then 12 mini. I'm sure it wasn't really included in that, but the iPhone 12 and 12 Pro series that has sold quite a lot, and apparently it took just around 6 to 7 months to achieve the 100 million target. By the 7th month of its launch, over 100 million units were sold, which is impressive. Now their claim is that there's basically a super spreader, a super, what they claim is a super upcycle, which means a lot of people bought these iPhones in cash or on contract for like 2 years or something. I've already had it, and then obviously both they probably traded in their old iPhones. Basically, those who bought the iPhone 5 or iPhone 6 now are now going out and upgrading their phones, and it's like 5 to 6 years already since that happened, and so there's like a super cycle. So they're all going back to buying new versions and probably doing an upgrade or trading in or getting a new contract for a new iPhone, which is kind of interesting. Interestingly, if you look at it, but also it has really beaten the odds, you could say, despite it being a pandemic year, ironically. So its sales have basically been had not really been affected by the coronavirus pandemic, more like that it's actually grown. And also those who bought those devices, who obviously kept an iPhone 11 because they weren't able to run out, go outside and buy an iPhone 12 because it was expensive. Now they've upgraded, and so that's been a bit of a significant deal, nonetheless. It's kind of interesting that Apple's basically been selling that many iPhones. iPhones are quite popular. Love it or hate it, they were more popular than typical than some flagship killer Android phones, because that's what people know to be a good smartphone. You can't get around that. So yeah, that's the situation you have here. And then on the flip side, we've got a report yesterday, claiming a report from DigiTimes, Apple's looking to announce their new 14 and 16 inch MacBook Pros in September. So this is a significant development, to say the least. Now it's going to be a big deal if they're able to pull off the launch of the MacBooks in September, given that iPhones also launched during that period. But I'm sure that they're probably gonna give some space, kind of, or maybe they'll do another event in November where they'll show off new MacBooks. But yeah, that probably is what's happening. So yeah, that's pretty cool nonetheless. And finally, this is interesting because I pulled it up a few days ago. Obviously, we thought we'd do the episode on Thursday, but that didn't really happen. But Elon Musk was doing a kind of a se doing a discussion, obviously, at the Mobile World Congress, sort of in Q&A session. And he made a point that the Starlink terminal, the thing that lets you connect to the Starlink mobile satellite internet network, he kind of claims that right now they're sort of losing money on the on the router, on the terminal that you could say, the dish probably. So it kind of made a plan that they want to lower the price of the receiver or terminal, you could say, down to $250 from $500 right now. And apparently, according to him, it costs more than $1,000. So, and he probably noted that selling terminals for half price is not super compelling, given that that SpaceX was planning for millions of Starlink customers. Over time, we'd like to reduce the terminal cost from $500 to, I don't know, $300 or $250 or something like that. So, but yeah. But he basically claims that there'll probably be a next generation variant of Starlink satellites that'll be coming, that'll be more capable, and they'll be cheaper, hopefully, compared to the first generation, which was very, very expensive. And apparently, they're claiming that already they have over 500,000 users within the first 12 months, which is impressive, primarily. Sort of. And now they obviously have applied to the FCC to get, allow them to connect up to more than 5 million users, up from 1 million, which is, I think, impressive. Starlink's now operational in about 12 countries, and more are being added every month. So far, Starlink has over 1,500 low Earth orbit satellites providing data service capable of a combined 30 terabytes per second, which is impressive. Starting in August, Elon stated, we should have global connectivity everywhere except the poles, North and South Pole. That's impressive. And the fact that they're able to get to that in August, hopefully, I mean, it is already making some progress since starting out last year. And I mean, everyone's talked about it, and it's quite an interesting, it's not a replacement for 5G or fiber, but it will probably fill in the gaps for people, to say the least, in that regard. Obviously, there is a plan. SpaceX is probably making a whole lot of money running Starlink, primarily down the road, and it will help fund a lot of the ventures that they have, and so on and so forth. And they're planning to spin the company off into a publicly owned company, which I think is would be impressive for its scale. So yeah, it's pretty exciting times nonetheless. I mean, seeing them probably going above and beyond in that regard. What do you think of everything I've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Sade_Mao99. Follow me there if you can. Subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Share this to your friends and family. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you're already listening. Yeah, till Tuesday, hopefully. We'll be back with another episode of Mao's Gadget Talk. Till then, stay safe, take care. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. And yeah, thank you for listening. Ciao.